Wow, it is really great to have everyone here this morning. I was almost worried at one stage. This morning I woke up just wanting to pray for this morning, and knowing that Carl and his team that he picked during last week have all migrated to Mossel Bay, as Ron said, I was thinking, yo, we're going to have quite an empty congregation today. But how crazy is this that God brings the nations with us today? So it is such a privilege just to do a bit of church with you guys, to get to know you guys. And you guys are so welcome to be with us. As that word came through from Heinrich, I can pick up on that already before I start ministering. JP, I want to just, as you came and hugged me this morning, man, I felt the presence of God on you. It was like, this is your season of change. I really do believe that. You're going to come, your trajectory is changing. And God is hearing your presence. This thing that I'm going to be talking about today, there is a change, and that you are just to stay on course. His plans for you is perfect. And he says that as you stay laid down, as you stay died to yourself, there is a sense that God will show you and direct your every footstep. I even see you sitting on your knees and God giving you new strategies for business. I'm taking you to new areas that he's planned for you. But he says, stay faithful with a little and stay in the fire. You know what that means? Stay in the body where there's like-minded people that are offending and fighting and contending for you. This is your season of change. I really feel that. There was a couple of other words that I also got for a couple of the Americans, but I'm going to let that go for now and then just see how the Holy Spirit starts to direct me, if I may. You guys all okay? It's all very quiet in here this morning, very formal. So for those who don't know me, my name is Warren. I serve with Ruan as an elder here. I have the great privilege of actually serving full-time with a guy called Carl, who is ministering up at Mossel Bay at the moment. And then also Rensu. Rensu not back yet from America? I think Rance is traveling in the States. But it's such a privilege to serve with these guys. We do life together, and I know that I'm in safe hands when we pray into each other's lives and speak into each other's lives. So that's me. Let me just go into my notes here. Okay, when I was praying about this, we were in prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. And we normally have combined prayer meetings with our PM, with our 4 p.m. congregation and 6 p.m. also. And they all came here, we gathered here, and we started to pray. We all stood in a circle, and we just started to pray. And the presence of God was just, it was amazing. It was there. I could feel the tangibility, the sense of God, you are here. And as we were praying, I heard the Lord say to me, Warren, my church will be called the Church of Prayer. And I read about that, but I heard it again. My church shall be called the Church of Prayer. Not of sacrifices, you know, not of good works, not of good preaching even, or good worship even. But my house shall be called a house of prayer. And as I heard this, man, I knew that I'd read that in Scripture. So I started looking up Scripture. In fact, some of you, I think Stuart, I know Stuart was with us when we prayed that morning. I prayed into that, if you can remember. And it was amazing. But I went out and looked for the Scripture and found it in Matthew and in John. And I want to read these scriptures to you. But before I read these scriptures to you, I want to paint a little bit of a picture for you guys. You know, all through scripture, we see Jesus as this amazing person on the cross. You know, Christ portrayed on the cross. We see Jesus as our loving, peaceful Savior. You know, we see Christ as the good shepherd, putting the lamb on his shoulders. We see him walking. Another amazing picture we see is him walking on water, you know. And then we see him sitting at the well with the woman of Samaria, you know. And then, guys, we see Jesus. We see this radical side of Jesus in the temple, totally irate. He's almost got a holy anger about him. And literally turning over tables, you know. And as we read the scripture that I'll be reading to you of Jesus in the temple, we can very quickly see that Jesus really made prayer an absolute high priority. And just like I said, I'm going to be zooming in and honing in on prayer specifically. So the first scripture that I want to read to you is John 2, verses 13 to 21. And I'm going to read out of the NIV. This is obviously, again, the story of Jesus cleaning out the temple. And this is the first account recorded of him doing this. There are two accounts, but I'll read the other one after. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and those sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove from the temple courts both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here. Stop making my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for my house will be consumed." Incredible scripture that. Then the next scripture that is recorded is in Matthew. Matthew 21 verses 12 to 14, and I'll read out of the NIV again. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it into a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. So here we have this incredible scene of Jesus, you know, our loving Savior, our Lamb of God, you know, the one who takes away the sins of the world, the gentle, loving Jesus, the good shepherd who puts the lamb on his shoulders and he brings it home. And yet, we see in this portion of scripture that Jesus physically emoted in such a way that is really hard for us to even comprehend. You know? It's so difficult to see the side of Jesus. You know, that he would actually take the tables and turn them over in the courts of the temple. That he would throw the money on the on the floors. You know, that he would stop the traders from coming through the temple court. They actually made a shortcut through the temple court, and he stopped it, and he said, "Stop!" And with like holy anger, with great authority, he would say, "Guys, stop going through here. Get out of here. Take your business somewhere else. This is a house of prayer, and you are making it into a house of robbers." Great authority. He put such passion and value on that place called prayer. Well, actually, it was the temple, but it was for prayer. Yeah, I can imagine the disciples following Jesus through the temple courts, like literally coming into the temple now, and Jesus is increasing in speed, and the disciples are like quite weary now, like, what is happening here? Our King, our Savior, who we dropped everything for, we're following him. This bloke is going to, he's irate. And just standing there as he's turning over these tables. And in chapter 2, John, it actually says that he made a whip out of cords. And what did he do? He literally thrashed these people out of the temple, thrashed the animals, all scattering coins, the works. Such a passion. I mean, this picture of Jesus in these scriptures are just incredible. You know, it shows me the immense passion and value that Christ had put on prayer. And guys, I want you to remember, man, it's like we need to remember that we are now living temples. You know, that Christ abides in us. And that we need to be careful of the things that we bring into our courts. You know, that will take our attention away from our prayers and devotions to God. Just think of that. You know? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16, and I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. I love the New King James. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Folks, we are no longer, you know, we no longer need to go to man-made temples to go and pray. We have access to God 24/7. You know, we can pray without ceasing anytime we want. And I'm not doing away with going to church and praying corporately. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he abides in us, and that if he's calling us, or if the Holy Spirit is leading us into prayer or intercession, guys, put everything down and do that. This is making sense. Are you guys with me still? Yeah? 2 Corinthians 7, verses 14. Back to the ESV. Okay, my people who are called by my name will humble. Let me read that again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and restore their land. You know, effective prayer always starts with submission and humility. You know, if we just stay humble, you know, if we just pray and seek God, then he will hear our prayers. It's a very simple message. You know, the book of Revelation says in chapter 5, verse 8, and again I'll read out of the NIV. It says, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. The prayers of the saints. Can you just imagine that? Can you imagine that? God hears your every prayer, man. You know, and it's quite fascinating, very interesting. In the Old Testament times, Israel's priests used to burn incense in the temples. And the fragrance from these burning incense were the prayers of God's people. Isn't that crazy? That's like, do you see that all sort of fitting in? It's like with Scripture. It's just amazing how God sort of confirms things, even from the Old Testament, you know. It is amazing. Everything we do should come from that place of prayer. You know, it should have this fragrance of prayer. You know, if we want to start a new business, what do? We get into God's presence and we pray. You know, if I want to go plant a church, what do you think I'm doing? I'm praying actively. I'm seeking God. Because I need to make sure that this is the right thing. You know, I'm going to read this scripture here. James 4, verses 2 to 3. I've not put it on the overhead. But it says, it's James 4, verse 2 to 3. It says, you have not because you've asked not. Think about that. You have not because you ask not. Are you spending time with God? Are you praying for things? Are you praying for the loved ones that are not saved yet? I want to tell you, if you have loved ones that are not saved yet, pray. If you're struggling financially, what are you doing? Are you praying? If you're doing well in business and the contracts are just coming in, what are you doing? Are you praying? If you're sick, are you praying? If you have relationships that are hurting, or if you have relational hurts or issues, are you praying? And if you're finding it difficult to pray, get your brother and sister alongside you. But get into the presence of God and contend. Pray. Folks, everything starts in prayer and everything needs to end in prayer. We need to have this mindset, you know, of this aroma of God, this aroma of prayer in us and through us.
Yeah.
You know, we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, what did the disciples do? They all met in a room. And you know what they did? They just stood there waiting on the Lord. And they started praying. And the Bible says, you're just going to read this. And the Bible says that a mighty wind came into the room. And the Spirit of God was poured out like tongues of fire upon the disciples. And a few days later, the New Testament church was born. Everything starts in prayer and everything ends in prayer. We need to have this prayer fragrance about us. You know, Jesus' disciples saw him pray all the time. And they modeled him, really. There were times that they were tired. They fell asleep, yeah, but they saw how he prayed, how he constantly went to those mountaintops. And when he came down from those mountaintops, the Bible says his countenance had changed, that his face shone. Guys, something happens when we come into the prayer, into the prayer rooms, into that place of prayer. Before I go into Hebrews, I want to tell you a story. One of my favorite heroes is a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. Who of you all know Smith Wigglesworth? This guy lived in the 1800s, early 1900s. He was a Yorkshireman from England. Incredible man of God. He was totally illiterate. He couldn't read or write. He married a woman who was from she was a Salvationist, from the Salvation Army. And she taught him how to read and write. And he read the Word of God as though it was the most important thing that he did. And he believed everything that this Word of God did. And God used him in incredible signs and wonders. They called him the Apostle of Faith. But one story stood out specifically when I read this guy, his background, his history, that he had a prayer room. And all the guys that were in ministry, the men of cloth, used to come and pray with him because they knew he had incredible faith. And then when they came into his house, some of them would bring newspapers in and umbrellas. He'd say, leave your umbrella outside, and leave the newspaper outside there also. Because why would you want to read something going in unclean and coming out unclean? The only literature that you read, the Bible, is the only book that you go in unclean and you come out clean. But he would pray and contend constantly. And there were times that people used to come in, they walked in to his prayer room, and within minutes, they would be crawling out of that room because of the weightiness of God's glory. He knew how to get into the face of the Father. Everything starts in prayer and everything ends in prayer. And that needs to be our mindset. That needs to be our attitude. The attitude, the fragrance of prayer. I don't have much to say, but I know God has got quite a lot that he wants to say. I want to read a scripture here, Hebrews 5, verses 7 to 9, again from the NIV. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. You know, we know the story that takes place. Jesus is taken to the cross. He dies on the cross. On the third day, he rose from the dead. And then he went, he ascended to the Father. And what does the Bible say then? He now sits at the right-hand side of the Father. And what is he doing? He's interceding for us, for me and you, for our families, our loved ones, for those who are not yet saved. Guys, this is a powerful image. And I'm hoping that from everything that I said, that would resonate with you today. The fact that our Savior, our King, is interceding for us. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows the skeletons in your closet. He knows the gray hairs on your head or on your chin. He knows the issues that you have in family. He knows the things that you're struggling with. And he comes to you today. And he says, would you pray? Will you believe that I can change the season for you? John Wesley, I don't know if you guys know John Wesley. I'm going to end off with this, and then we'll see where the Holy Spirit takes us. But who of you guys know John Wesley? You know, John Wesley was an incredible man of God. He was the founder of the Methodist Church. And he once said, which is quite interesting, listen to this. He says, God does nothing but in answer to prayer. Prayer is therefore not an option for mankind, but an absolute necessity. If we don't pray, heaven cannot interfere in earth's affairs. It is imperative that we take responsibility for the earth and determine what happens here by our prayer lives. By our prayer lives. Everything starts in prayer and everything ends in prayer. Where is that sweet aroma that you carry? You know, Wigglesworth, again, I'll refer back to Wigglesworth. When he went from Leeds to Manchester, he had just come out of his prayer session and he got on a train. He was traveling, and two Roman Catholic priests were sitting in one of the chairs of the train, and they were looking at him, and conviction came upon them, and they fell down
to their knees. They looked up to heaven. They started crying out to God for mercy. You know why? Because of the aroma of prayer. Because Smith Wigglesworth knew how to press into that place of the Father. Where are you at today? You know, where are you at in your prayers? You know, are you interceding for those that you love? Because guys, when we stand the last day, when we are before God, and that we have got to have an account for our lives, and as elders even, we've got to present this church to God, and there is a sense of responsibility. But where are we at with our prayers? I don't want to be standing there and saying, Lord, you know, my prayer life wasn't that good. Warren, what about your brother-in-law who's struggling? Just know me. What about your sister? What about your brother? What about your mom and your dad? Let today be a turning day for you. Let today be a day of saying, Lord, I want to do business again. You might have been running hard. I don't know. You might have been running hard for the kingdom. I don't know. Because it can happen that we are even in ministry and we run so hard, but we bring things into our court, which takes our focus off the one that we've got to spend time with, the one that we've got to ask, the one that we've got to give glory